Blog Talk Radio.
Out of the bed, the first thing we should have done as Christians, as men and women of God, is hit our knees because we don't understand when the day is going to come. And I just feel the presence of the Lord, and I just want to say, Lord, I thank you for giving me another opportunity, Lord, just to be able to sit before you, Lord. Know that everything in my body is functioning properly. There's no ailments. There's no pain. There's no problem. There's no hindrance of anything. And Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength, Lord, to be in your midst. It's just a blessing, Lord, to be in your midst, that you gave me the opportunity to come on your line once again to speak to your people. So, Father God, my heart mourns for you this morning, because you didn't have to wake me up this morning. You gave me a chance to be able to get on this line and minister the word of God to your people. Your word is declared, Lord, that we get the work done. While there's still time, Father God, we don't know. We don't understand. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father God. Oh, for my spirit, I thank you. Oh, Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for my breath. I thank you for my life. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my children. I thank you for each and everyone on this line, Lord, that even you gave them the strength to tune in and be a part of this powerful broadcast and what the word of God is bringing forth, Lord. I thank you for all our yesterday's service and how your presence and your power, your spirit moved, Lord, and your word is declared, Lord, it has not yet been revealed, Lord, what we should be. But you know, Lord, you said we'll be just like you. So, Father God, we thank you this morning. My heart just flows, Lord, that you gave me an opportunity to have manna this morning, to live, Lord, to be in your presence, Father God, to see my family all around me, Lord. No problems, no pain, no surging calls in the middle of the night, Lord, that says somebody has passed on and went away. And, Father God, I just thank you for those who have loved ones lost in their family and those who are mourning, Lord, in situations, those who are going through mental distress, Lord, through all the different woes that deals with them in life. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for our ups and our downs, Lord. We thank you for our problems right now, Lord, because you know, Father God, your word has declared that whatever the enemy tries to come against us with, Lord, you already declared it to be good. So, Father God, we got a chance this morning as we rise up. We got an opportunity, Lord, to breathe the breath of life once again, Lord, to know that sometimes we got a little crook here, a little crook there, but you enabled us, Lord, to have life this morning, Lord. And, Father God, for that, Lord, we will go and spread your word to somebody, Lord, who's lost in that desperate situation, who don't know which way to go. Somebody's in a crossroad who don't understand where their life is going. They're so mixed, they're so twisted, they so seem to be perverted in such a way, Lord, they don't even understand. But, Lord, I believe you have sent forth your people on this day. Father God, I thank you. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your chance of just being able to speak this morning. I thank you, Father God. And, Father God, I thank you. Just to thank you for everything that you have done, everything that you're doing. I thank you, Father God. And I just declare your word today, Lord, as you look over me, Lord, as I minister the word, not just minister what there's to talk to your people in a way that they receive that which you have in store for them today, that their life will be more abundant, Lord. It'll be more than what they can see, Father God. And we just declare this word as we come forth in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we plead the blood, and we come against every force, every hindering spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, they have come to a point that they have been filled with the precious power of your Holy Ghost. Bless every one of the members at New Life Harvest Church, all the support, all the welcomes, all the attitude in terms that they have that's been in the right mind to receive the very power and the precious spirit that's about to move, Lord, like a whirlwind on what the work that we're doing. Father God, your word has declared, Lord, that we hadn't seen anything, but we know, Father God, that everything you put before us, Lord, is for a purpose and for a reason, that we will move to a higher glory in you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Father God. Well, with that being said, we want to look at the book of 2 Chronicles. And we'll look at 2 Chronicles chapter 18. We're going to deal with our friend Jehoshaphat, who alienated himself, or he befriended himself with a very unusual king in this time. And when we look at this word, we want to understand that Jehoshaphat did a very unwise alliance with Ahab. Jehoshaphat was a very blessed man. He was blessed with riches and honor and abundance. And his marriage and his alliance with Ahab was a very wrong decision. And sometimes we all make wrong decisions, and it costs us sometimes. But in the process of costing us, everything looks so well when it starts off. But sometimes we don't realize on down the line, the enemy tries to set up a trap. He tries to snare us in things to give us a vision of what seems right. But we know if we don't pray to God and ask Him for direction, we know it's going to turn into something more tragic than we can ever imagine, even think of. The Word of God has declared that these things, what are these things? Our prayers, our professions, our confessions to Christ only come by fasting and praying. So let's look at the book of Jehoshaphat, starting chapter 1, verse 1, I'm sorry, chapter 18, I'm sorry, verse 1. And it says, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. And he joined and affiliated himself with Ahab. Some of you guys might say he joined or he found himself gathering with Ahab for whatever Bible you're reading now. But we read now the King James, because I mean the King James rules when he got down to speaking. Some of you might like Laman. But in the second verse, he said, after a certain year went down, he went down to Ahab in Samaria, and he killed off sheep and oxen for him in abundance. He had riches. For the people he persuaded him to go up to Ramoth-Gilead. Now let's look at that a little closer because it gets interesting. The verse says in verse 2, and after certain years, he went down to Ahab. This is where the problem is coming in at when we have so much, and it seems like when we get with what we call our clientele, or the people that's on our level, we got to be so careful. But Ahab had riches in abundance. And they say he slaughtered sheep and oxen. And it says that he went down to Samaria. And they say he aligned himself with Ahab of Samaria. And they killed off sheep. And they killed off oxen. And they did it in abundance, as it says there in the second paragraph. And the people that he had with him persuaded him to go up to Ramoth-Gilead. Now, this is something when you get in the presence of people who's got a little bit more power and abundance, and you've been kind of not really knowing how they flow, but you want to be in that arena, you'll find yourself being persuaded by the way they do things, or whether they're being persuaded by how you align to do things. Now, this is so important, because it goes in the third verse, and it says that in the third verse, it says, and Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art. My people are as your people, and we will be with you in the war. Now, he's only going with him by affiliation of what's going on around him, the slaughtering of sheep and oxen, the abundance of living in a certain lifestyle or area. So what he's doing, he said, there's no way it can go bad here. So I'm just going ahead and say, my people, I with your people. Because now we're on that level, what you call bougie, a little bit. We're up there a little bit. And now we're going to deal with the upper echelon of things. And now, since we know you're here and I'm here, let us align ourselves and let us come to a strategy and let us be greedy and let us go take over the neighboring cities. And let's look at it from a natural standpoint of view. Once we get more in our hands, it's like we have more greed for more things. It seems like we don't have enough. We just want to keep on tearing off. We want to keep on getting more. It's a certain level that we're trying to reach to, but we don't know how we're getting there. We're only getting there by what we see and what we hear. And what we see and what we hear ain't always what it appears to be. In this particular chapter with Ahab and Jehoshaphat and Jehoshaphat, these two men were really opposite in their actions. Ahab wasn't really a believer. Jehoshaphat was a believer. If you go back in the book of 2 Chronicles 17 to 10, you see how God exalted Ahab, Jehoshaphat, over his neighboring cities and nation. He gave him favor, just like God gives me and you favor. So when we get favor, you know, the old saying is, never forget where you come from. And most of the time, when you got people who have some things, they know where they're going by what they have. But people who don't have a lot as much, they always know where they come from to try to get to where they're going. So when you have a little bit, you only see where you're going, but you don't know where you're coming from. And when you don't have, you know you come from, and you're trying to maintain the state with what God is going to do for you. So you look at that in a way you think about, wow, that's kind of interesting. Because money can cause some things, and fame and fortune can cause you to be blinded. And when you get blinded, you'll forget how you got to where you are. Because you won't understand that it was the Lord who blessed you, who brought you out of what you're in. And it says in the fourth book, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, and he cried, I pray thee at the word of the Lord today. In the fifth verse, therefore the king of Israel gathered together the prophets, 400 men, and said unto them, shall we go up to Ramoth Gilead into battle, or should we forbear? Should we go or should we forbear? Should we pull back? And he said, go up to Ramoth Gilead, and I will deliver it into the king's hand. Now, when we look at the fifth verse again, and let's be careful how we say this. Remember, he gathered his prophets, the people that believe in him. And it's the same sense when we get into what we call equal yoke with people, who we think that's of the upper level, and we begin to say, well, they must be making a good decision because look at the prosperity that's around them. But the word of God says always more than what you can see. So we'll lose track of where we come from, and we'll get with the people to know where they think they're going. And the word of God says the blind only use the blind. And the word also declares it's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is his death. And when you don't get a clear picture about where you're going and who you align yourself with, though you may have riches and prosperity, you will find yourself outside the will of God. And you'll find yourself walking with carnal life rather than walking with spiritual life. As we talked about in our service on yesterday, there's nothing wrong with you having riches. Matter of fact, God wants you to be millionaires. But when you align yourself with opposite people of what God riches is and what the world riches is, you'll find yourself being drifted away. You'll find yourself in a position, like it talks about in the book of James, it says that count it all joy when you're going to die of his times. And it goes on down in the eighth verse, and it begins to speak in the book of James about how you'll end up being tossed and turned. You've been pushed back and forth. And it says, let not a double-minded man think that he's going to see anything for God, because you forgot where you come from, but now all of a sudden you forgot your past, but you know where you're going. There's nothing wrong with the past, because the past is like Paul. It keeps a thorn in your side. It'll check you. That when you get too high, it'll bring you down. It'll level you out. It'll make you realize and understand, don't get too high, or don't think more of yourself than you ought to think. In other words, don't get too uppity, to a point that you can't realize that I'm a God, that I got the ability to bring you back and put you in check. So this is what happens to Jehoshaphat, by aiding himself with Ahab. And as it says again in the fifth verse, therefore the king of Israel gathered together a prophet, 400 men, and said unto them, shall we go up to Ramoth Gilead for battle, or to battle, or shall we forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver them, deliver his kings into your hand. Now, they're taking information from a man now. These are the people who Ahab has handpicked as being his prophets. And let's go on and see why we say that. Because it says over in the sixth verse, then, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not therefore a prophet of the Lord beside, that we might inquire of him? Now, Jehoshaphat was a man of God. It's just like we are. When we get in areas of business or areas of multiplication, when I see God taking me in some areas, I got to be careful who I align myself with. Because you know the old saying says that everybody hot and holy ain't holy. And everybody saying that I love the Lord don't love the Lord. And everybody look good ain't good. So we got to understand that even when we walk with the Lord, and even though he's blessed us abundantly, there's still a way that our parents have always told us, be careful for nothing and do all things with prayer and supplication. But lean not to your own understanding, but not as God in all your way, and he'll direct your path. Riches has got a way of blinding you in such a way. When you get to an era, you forget what you are and what you have, because it's got a way of taking you in the area of just tossing you out there and putting you in the sea with everybody else. But Jehoshaphat brings a check to Ahab. You got your 400 prophets. Now I want to know if you got a prophet of the Lord here, the man who I know, according to 2 Chronicles 17:7-10, that this is the man who aligned me up to have the battle and come in the inheritance of all the nations of my people. And I know this God is real. But then you got riches as well. So we got similarities here, but there's a difference in our God. There's a difference in our belief. So my point is there a prophet among the Lord who may speak on my behalf, who I know have brought me from where I'm from? And then we can come to terms of which way we're going to go. But the word of God goes on and says, over in the seventh verse, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we might inquire of the Lord, but he hates me, for he never prophesied good unto me. Now think about that. A prophet is designed to give you word, whether it's good or bad. And it's really designed that you get your life in order to the point that now I have sent the word into the land. And as it says in the book of Amos, I don't bring a word into the land unless it's revealed through the prophet. God needs a man of his caliber, or we have chosen and ordained, not physically by some hands of man. And that's okay, because the system wants you to be recognized by the hands of a man. But the paper that you have, even the ordainerships I have on my wall, even the degree things I have on my wall, is not because I received it from men, it's from God. But I got to acknowledge that God enabled me to have it, and I got to use it in such a way that I don't get far above myself or think of myself being more than I often think. So what happens is that he said, this prophet never prophesied nothing good for me. Prophet Malachi, powerful man of God. Now think about it. He's going against 400 prophets, and he's only one man that's going to speak the truth about what's going to happen when they go up the road of Mount Gilead. And it says over here, and it says that, as we read the seventh verse again, excuse me, it says, the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but he hates me, for he never prophesies good unto me, but always evil. He's the same as Malachi, the son of Imlah. Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And the king of Israel called one of his officers, one of his henchmen, and he said, it fetched. In other words, he fetched him, like he was some kind of piece of something. He fetched him quickly, Mordecai, or Malachi, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, set on the throne and clothed in their robe. Now, they're superiorizing themselves. They're on thrones. They're beneath. They're putting the man of God has been belittled. Now, you got to imagine this in your mind when you study about this. You'll see that Jehoshaphat's prophet, not Jehoshaphat, but Ahab's prophet, was all in good rhema. They had the nice clothes, had the nice garments, they had all the things that contained that looks good, but they were rotten inside. And everything they prophesied was lies. And what I'm saying here, it's a way that seems right from the physical standpoint of view, but the inside, it's no good. That's the word of God says about when Paul speaks about the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, and the Sadducees. He said, you know what? You guys are like whitewashed tombs. Y'all spread your garments. Y'all spread your borders. You look so well. But inside, you're like dead man bones. You're no good inside. And this is why so much that the word of God speaks in Galatians, how we as men and women of God have to and must walk in the Spirit. Because the Spirit will search us all things, yea, the deepest things of God. And he speaks about that over in 1 Chronicles 2 and 9, I believe. Yeah, I think it's 2 and 10. He brings a straight word that it's got to be revealed through the Spirit. But as we look over the ninth verse, he said, and the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, set either of them on the throne and clothed in the robe. And they sat in a void place. Meaning they were separate from everybody else in the entering of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. They're giving them accolades. All his prophets giving them accolades because he hand chose them. But a man of God is about to come in and reveal some stuff. He's about to equalize the playing field. Though you may have 400, but I'm going to tell you something. When the word comes from kingdom, he'll shut down everything that's not like God. It goes on in the 10th verse and says, and Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, had made him a horn of iron and said, thus say the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until it is consumed. Now, this is another word of false prophecy. He wrote a bullhorn made of iron. He made something that was sound, and as he blew it, it gave an echo to it to get the ears of the people's attention. And to make them feel that even when the 400 prophets prophesied, that they would believe that when he blew the horn, it was representing something. And I want to look at something here in the 10th verse. And I want to bring some clarity to that in the 10th verse as we look over here in another area of the Bible that I have. And it says over here in this other area of one of my readers, I said, he said, and they feared the Lord and fell upon their, excuse me, I'm in the wrong section, I'm sorry. Let me back up. excuse me, on that area. In the 10th verse, once again, I'm so sorry. And Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, had made a horn of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these you shall push Syria until they consume. Now, the false prophets or the false prophecy were just as quick to cry. The false prophets were just as quick to cry out, meaning there was a set of prophets that he had, which is 400, and also there were some more prophets who had went in with these 400 prophets. And thus say the Lord, but the truth was what they were saying was not from the Lord. In other words, you can say something out of your own flesh. I believe Jehoshaphat, King, it slips my mind here a second, King Elisha, excuse me, said that you prophesy things that you ought not to prophesy. But you prophesy things out of the good of the ears of the people, that they may be twinned. In other words, it talks about how the word of God speaks in Timothy, that they are come a time where they want to do a sound doctrine, but they're itching of their ears. They are persuaded to go around things that are sound good, but it has no bearing, it carries no weight. It's just hollow. It's like a person who continued to do something wrong to you over and over again, and when they apologize, you stop hearing them after a while. In other words, their apologies be like echo. They be just echo. There's an echo law. You don't hear them anymore because they don't really mean what they say, because they turn right around and do the same thing over again. So says the very thing with this very prophet of Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, who blew the horn, which is made of iron. He agreed with the false prophets over in verse 4 that what he was hearing out of the prophets of Ahab was going to be true. But here come the word of the Lord in 11th verse. And all the prophets prophesy, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prophesy, for the Lord shall deliver them unto your hands, the hands of the king. And the message that went out to Malachi speaks to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophet declare good to the king. Now, this is what he said. It behold, declares good to the king. Notice how Malachi is speaking. He's shutting them down, but at the same time, he's not calling confusion as well. What your prophets prophesy, that your ears receive. So he says, the saying, behold, the words of the prophet declares good to the king with one assent. Let the words, therefore, I pray thee, be like the ones there and speak thou good. And here it comes again in 13th verse. And Malachi said, as the Lord liveth, he's proclaiming his point as what he did. It doesn't have to be 400 prophets. Doesn't have to have what you call a statue. Doesn't have to have a physical effect. All I got to have is faith in the word from my Lord. And I'll move on anything, and I shut down everything that's not like God. And Malachi said, as the Lord liveth, he's proclaiming his God. Even what my God saith, that I will speak, I'm not going to send not word, not one word back void. I don't care what he says. I don't care what it looks like over there. I don't care how much they got. I don't care how much it looks like in their eyes. I'm going to stand with the word of God. And I'm going to believe and I'm going to declare what the Lord speaks to me. There will be a million prophets against me. I'm going to stand on the word of God. And in the 14th verse, and when he was come to the king, and the king said unto Malachi, shall we go up to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? There's the question mark again. The same question he gave him over in the early part of the chapter. He asked them the same question again. So God is already going to present twice to get you refrained, to restrain your mind, to change, that you're about to go against a God that you cannot win. So he gives them through, he sends the word through the prophet that, look, I'm going to send the word again. But if you go up there and you receive the word of these false prophets, even the one who blew the bullhorn, who conspired with them against my prophet, and I only have one prophet who's speaking a very powerful word, you're going to find yourself fighting against God himself, and you will not win. You will fall. And it says that, should we forbear? It said, he said, go up and prosper. Remember, God will give you what you want, but it's always in what he planned for you, according to Jeremiah 11 and 29. He'll give you what you want. Just like we spoke, I believe last Sunday, we spoke about how the king that they wanted, which was going to be Saul. God never appointed Saul to be king. The people wanted a king over them. And I believe Moses speaks in the book of Exodus, and I'm not going to quote this because I know it's in the book of Exodus, and I may be wrong because I want to be out of hand with you guys. I believe Moses quotes a word against Pharaoh, said, men has always wanted to rule over men. Men has always wanted to be subject to accolades. They always been subject by titles, who they know, who they run with, who's in the crowd, who's more bougie, who got this and who got that. The brand names, you know, they always want to run to make themselves feel superior or more than what they ought to feel. But he tells them, he said in the 14th verse, go up and prosper, and they shall deliver you unto his hand. But here comes the word again in the 15th verse. And the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou shalt say nothing but the truth? He's shutting the prophet down. If you don't prophesy the things of you, what you hear good, they're not going to receive it. Ain't it familiar? Ain't it so often when a prophet prophesies something in your life, if it's good, you receive it. But if it's bad, you'll reject it. You'll find every way to go into prayer and every way to fasting to try to get that word out. I'm telling you, once God put a word on you, that's it. It's up to you to be able to pray to him, to know he's going to remove it off you. Can't no soothsayer. Can't no so-called whatever you want to call it to be, pray anything off you. Once God's in a prophet and put a word on you, guarantee it's going to come to pass. But one thing about it, the word of God speaks right over in the book of 1 Corinthians. He said these things got to reveal to the spirit. Also, the word of God speaks over in the book of Psalms 89 and 34. He tells you his word he will not alter. He speaks these things continually. He says over in Psalms 84 and 11, no good thing while a host knows who walk upright. If a prophet's going to prophesy something to you, God, let your track record be complete. If you don't have to worry about him saying anything negative into your life, and if it is negative, God is saying something that puts you in check to where you need to be, that he's trying to prosper you in the area more than where you are. As we go to the 16th verse, it says, then said, I did see all of Israel scattered upon the mountain as sheep that have no shepherd. I believe in Jehoshaphat. Now, I'm not going to say that right there, but I believe I'm just going to deal with this area right here. I'm not going to take it into scripture. I want to focus on this right here. And he said, then he said, I did see all of Israel. Now, remember who's the king of Israel at this time? It's Ahab. Remember, he's coming to collaboration with Jehoshaphat. So these are the people who are actually in Israel and the 400 prophets who are agreeing, which was the king of Israel at that time, which is Ahab, to go up to Ramoth-Gilead for battle. And as we reiterate the story back and we kind of fold back a little bit, we see where his prophets has prophesied a false prophetic word against the man of God. But remember, God gives you what you want. He's not going to fight with you. Like the word of God said, don't get into foolish babbling. If they believe that's what is going to happen, look, refrain yourself or restrain yourself. Get away from that. Because all it does is open up a can of worms for something to come out of you that God has delivered you from. So once you break a word, your job is to go ahead and say it in peace and leave. And then that particular person, if they know you well, they will come back. And they say, you know, you were right about this. You're right about that. But it's something about stubbornness. It won't let you bring your pride down. It'll keep you up. And this is what happened to Ahab in this particular chapter right here. As I go to 16 again for the sake of time. Then he said, I did see all of Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep and having no shepherd. And the Lord said, thus having no master, let them return therefore every man to his household and place. Knows what he's saying. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did not I tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? Let's bounce back to the 16th verse once again, and as we look at something right here, I'm going to bring it close to you. The shepherds and the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his household in peace. Now, here's a word for one of my study amplifiers that says it like this. This word must have hit like a bombshell, my God, in the ears of the wicked Ahab. It diverted his plan so strong that it shocked him back into existence. And the only thing he could come up with is the word that he spoke on the 17th verse. And he said, King of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did not I tell thee that he would not prophesy good into me but evil. Evil in whose eyes? Evil in his eyes, but good in the eyesight of God. Let's move on to the 18th verse. And again he said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. Now this particular area of subject comes from the book of Isaiah. When Isaiah began to go into areas, being one of the strongest prophetic prophets in the Word of God, and one of the main prophets in the Word of God, he's quoted this scripture right here over in the book of Isaiah 6:1, I believe, when he said, I saw the throne of the Lord high. He came into the throne and saw the Lord high and lifted up. Now, when you look at what he's saying, he said, I saw the Lord high and I saw him lifted up. I saw more than what I can see. And his robe and his train filled the glory, the Shekinah. He was getting ready to bring a word to Isaiah about what he wasn't doing in terms of what God called him to do. This is a very word in similarity, though he's speaking to the area of the king of Ahab. He said, again, therefore, hear the words of the Lord. I saw the Lord setting up on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven, which is the seraphim, which is the angels, standing on the right hand on his left. On the right and on his left. That means he's surrounded by pure glory. You can't come against what's about to happen. And it says in the 19th verse, and the Lord said, who shall entice, this is powerful, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall by Ramoth-Gilead? And one of them spoke and said, after this manner, that the other said, after the manner, that means both are agreeing. Then there came out of the spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? Wherewith? And he said, I will go out and I will be a lion spirit in his mouth and of all of his prophets. And the Lord said, thus shall entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and come in. Go out. And go out and do even so. Now, we got to come back to this story because for the sake of time, we're moving along. I got some things coming together. My time got through off. I got more company coming in. People are knocking at my door. But I want to leave a word with you in terms of what he's speaking about here, in terms of what God is speaking and what men is speaking. There's a word that he's speaking. He's telling his people. Unless you align yourself with the right people in the right time, you're going to miss it. There are seasons that most of us are missing because we're aligning ourselves with the wrong people. I want to say a word, and as we finish this series on this coming Wednesday, we'll work on it a little bit more, but it's going to be morning prayer. But Thursday, we will be going into it. Monday, we'll be dealing with it. Sunday, we'll be dealing with it again. And Monday, we will be dealing with it also. But I want you to understand something here. If you don't align yourself with the proper people and in a proper word that comes from the Lord, and you will hear something that doesn't sound even close to what God has called you to do, you better check it, and you better make sure it's of God, because if it's not, it will become a lion spirit. It'll give you what you call a smokescreen to lead you to believe that God said something and he didn't say anything at all. And we got to come to understand and realize in this day and time, we are dealing with a bunch of falsification in the area of ministry to where now is being held that we don't even understand if it's true ourselves for what's coming out of the mouth of the prophets or what's coming out of the mouth of those who call themselves men and women of God. The Bible said they are not to lead to their own understanding. As a man of God, my job is to pray and say not no more than what God has given me to say. Not, he said, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Do just as God is telling you to do. And this is what we got to get to in the point of where we are today. Father God, we bless you for this word today. For the sake of time, Lord, we're moving, but we believe that you brought something so impact that it brought a word to your people, that they are realizing and understand that the life they're living doesn't belong to them, that they were purchased with a price according to the kingdom of God. And Lord, we declare the word by the kingdom of God and by the power of the Spirit, that even as we relay this word into the ears of your people, we ask you, Father God, to open them up, let them realize and understand that the words that we speak today is leading them in the very direction that you want them to go in. For your word says and always says, Proverbs 3:5. It's not to point that we don't understand, but he said, don't lean to your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all your ways. He said, and then after that, he'll direct your path. This is Pastor Ellis. Harvest New Life Church, urging you, encouraging you to continue to move forward. Understand what the Word of God is saying. Be blessed. If there's anyone who needs to call or come in contact with me, remember our website is www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. And also, we ask you, if you want a personal conversation or call with me, go to 214-870-2146. This Sunday, we're inviting people to come out and join us. Also, we have an Easter play that's coming up. It's going to be fantastic. If you have children, if you want to participate in this Easter play, please get in contact with my wife, Co-Pastor Patty Ellis, and she will let you know just what you have to do. Use the same number to contact her, which is 214-870-2146. Those of you who are on the radio or know her private number can do so by then. But then, for now, once again, this is Hope Call, and this is Pastor Charles Ellis of Harvest New Life Church. Thank you. God bless you. And we pray for each and every one of you each and every day. May God bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord. Amen.